We're going to continue our conversations now with our broadcast partners and a Middle East News update with David Dolan, longtime journalist in Jerusalem, over 30 years covering this story, and he knows the details behind the headlines for sure. David, you know, we have probably hashed out everything there is to say about the Syrian situation until they make some movement. I guess it's going to be put on hold as it relates to news reporting. But there are some things I would like to reflect a little bit on our conversation today about the 20th anniversary of the Oslo Accords and then the 40th anniversary of the Yom Kippur War. But before we do that, in Israel, especially in Jerusalem, around the Temple Mount area, high alert for this, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, Yom Kippur. Israel is ready to deal with any situation, are they not?
Well, absolutely, Jimmy. And you mentioned the 40th anniversary of the Yom Kippur War, and of course that was a war started on this holy day, a day when all traffic comes to a halt in Israel, except for emergency vehicles and some of the Arabs drive in their villages, but certainly the highways are empty, the stores are all shut. Of course, it's also the Sabbath this year, so many of those things are normally the case, but this is a high Sabbath. Everyone's staying near their homes and synagogues, etc., but with an ear open in case an air raid siren would go off, just as it did 40 years ago on Yom Kippur. That year, that was in October already, October 6th. And as the history books record, men rushed off to their units and war began. And, of course, that was a war launched by Syria and Egypt. Syria and Egypt with the backing of Russia, the Soviet Union. So here again, 40 years later, we have the same characters running around the stage, Syria with its chemical weapons, and Russia now intervening to apparently try to get them to give those up and to forestall an attack from the West, which would probably produce another attack upon Israel if it happened, as the Syrians and the Iranians and Hezbollah has said. So it's been a tense holiday season this year in Israel and in the Middle East. Everybody watching the horizon wondering, you know, are we going to be in another major war? But then again, as you said, it's also today, it's yesterday, the 13th, the 20th anniversary of the Oslo Accords being signed, which was a peace accord, which, of course, has not led to peace and not ended the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And ironically, Jimmy, we had John Kerry over here for most of the year, seven visits, I think, to Jerusalem so far this year, trying to get those peace talks going again. He did succeed, but almost as soon as they got going, the Syrian crisis flared to the point where it could no longer be ignored with the use of chemical weapons and the death of over 1,000 people by that. So Kerry now is totally preoccupied with that issue and not focusing at all on the Israeli-Palestinian track, which you and I talked about, I felt was ill-timed and wouldn't probably go anywhere at this time because of the crisis situation, and so far, that seems to be exactly what's happening.
Let's look a bit more on the Yom Kippur War. If I remember correctly, Golda Meir was the prime minister, and she didn't watch the signals that would have indicated something was going to happen, and the Arab world, as you said, led by Syria and by Egypt, attacked on the holiest day in the Jewish calendar when all the boys were home and the women as well, who would have been members of the Israeli Defense Force, observing this special holy day. It took a little while to get everybody in gear to defend themselves, didn't it?
Well, it did. And yeah, that was probably one of the greatest scandals that any Israeli government faced, was the Yom Kippur War and the fact that the prime minister, the defense minister, the cabinet, and really the security chiefs, the military leaders, the military analysts that were studying all of the signs and the movements on the ground, et cetera, that almost everybody underrated, if not totally dismissed, the possibility that just 6 years after Syria, Egypt, and other Arab countries suffered this tremendous, humiliating loss in the Six-Day War, where Syria lost the Golan Heights, Jordan lost the West Bank, and Egypt lost the Sinai Peninsula, to Israel, Israeli land three times larger than it was, or at least land under their control, than it was just before the Six-Day War. And here, 6 years later, they're going to attack again. Nobody thought it was possible. It really was dismissed. And, of course, it happened. And, therefore, the government, Golda Meir, resigned. The government went through a great crisis period. But they learned some lessons. And let's put it this way. Benjamin Netanyahu is not looking the other way. He's watching things very, very closely, as he said he is. His cabinet is. His defense minister, Yaalon, is. The other military leaders are, and they're not going to be caught by surprise again, let me tell you. So the situation is very different today. The Israeli military is always ready now to spring into action without any warning, basically. Of course, technology, Jimmy's moved a long ways, and now we have far more sophisticated satellites. Israel didn't have a spy satellite in those days, but today they do. Of course, the radar systems are far more advanced. Israel has a strong navy now, which it didn't in those days. And, of course, Israel's nearly twice the size, actually over twice the size population-wise, than it was in 1973 when that war broke out. So it's a different situation, but still one that is dangerous. And, of course, that's made all the more so by the fact that Iran is developing nuclear something. They say not weapons, but of course Israel believes they are aiming to have nuclear weapons, and those can wipe you out in a second. So it's no less a dangerous situation, but Israel's more prepared and more alert than they were 40 years ago this week.
David, talk to me about the Oslo Accords, a peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinian people. September 13th, 1993, they're at the White House with Yasser Arafat, Yitzhak Rabin, and indeed President Clinton there, but that really hasn't worked out either, has it?
Well, it hasn't. It was worth trying, I suppose, although many in Israel were extremely skeptical that it would work. They said, you know, how can we trust Yasser Arafat to keep any sort of a peace accord after all the years of terrorism and violence that he's directed at us? Of course, many on the Palestinian side were skeptical, too. And the issues, the main issues, were put to the back in that agreement, as you recall, Jimmy. And I was in Israel reporting on that very closely for CBS News in those days, so following every development. And the issue of Jewish settlements, the issue of final borders, the issue of Palestinian refugees, do they return to pre-state Israel or not? Those that came from there, and of course the issue of Jerusalem, what to do with the holiest city on earth for Jews and Christians and Muslims, one of the holiest cities for Muslims anyway, and what to do with the Temple Mount. None of those issues were resolved in that initial accord. Just the declaration that they would be resolved in future discussions was made. Well, of course, that didn't happen. The whole thing fell apart. Hezbollah joined in with Hamas and launched attacks in the north, and Hamas blew up a bunch of buses, and by the year 2000 it was dead, and then 2001 we had the second Palestinian uprising begin. So it's dead and buried, really, but John Kerry trying to revive it, trying to renew it, redo it, actually would be the better word, but so far his attention, as I mentioned, is elsewhere, and the Israeli public and government and the military leaders, their attention is elsewhere as well right now.
Talk to me in about 30 seconds on the Feast of Tabernacles. It's coming up this week, and indeed Jews and Christians from around the world coming to Jerusalem for that celebration.
Well, and I can tell you, Jimmy, I have friends at the International Christian Embassy. They were very nervous that there would be a lot of cancellations if there'd been any sort of strike against Syria in the last couple of weeks. It didn't happen, of course. And so most of those people are still coming, thousands from South America and Europe and Asia, and it's going to be a great celebration. And, of course, the Jewish people and their sukkahs celebrating as every year. But again, this year, everyone's going to be thinking about the possibility of war and those prospects as well and keeping very alert.
Jewish people building a sukkah, somewhat of a thatched hut, and for 7 days, living some portion of the day in that to remind them of how it was during those wanderings in the wilderness. And of course, Zechariah chapter 14 says, in the future, Feast of Tabernacles will be celebrated on a yearly basis by all the people on the earth. David Dolan with our Middle East News Update. David, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
You're welcome, Jimmy, and a good fast.